order, and the minutes will show that all board members are present. We've all seen the minutes before the meeting, and they have already been signed by the board. And Tracy, you're the first on the agenda. Come on up.
Good morning.
Good morning.
What happened to your eye?
I have gone blind in my left eye, and they recently did a shot through the eye, but it didn't fix it. Oh. So we are patched until further notice.
Okay, right eye, go for it.
Right? All right, so I have gone and talked to the emergency department about the warming shelter. They are on board to notify me when they would consider it an emergency. Although when we were discussing things, they...
Who do you mean by the emergency
department? Jenny Damaris. Yeah, Damaris, okay. As you guys had requested.
Okay.
She talked about the cold weather, not so much about the wind and rain.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, both of those are a big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, but she said that she would notify us and we'd be in the circle. As well as talking to Amy, we thought we could all email each other in regards to weather issues.
Mm-hmm.
When we had talked last time, we had discussed maybe moving some of the numbers for temperature-wise. What our board has come up with, and if it's okay with you guys and it all works out, it would be 32 or below no matter what, and then 38 or below for two consecutive nights. Wet conditions of 38 or below, with some other stipulations, so wind or something to that effect. And then windy conditions, instead of sustained at 45, which is where we had it before, it would be sustained at 35 miles or higher. And then, obviously, we would agree with your not being open on Friday and Saturdays due to farmers market.
So it'd just be Friday night, so we could...
On Friday nights, this, right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Let's see. Is the discussion okay now, Mr. Chair? So I think we're maybe on the right track here, though I'd like to step back. I mean, I'm wondering, you know, even though the criteria already reflects the fact that sustained, you know, really heavy rain and sustained heavy winds go into the mix in making the determination on opening, wouldn't it be better to call this maybe a hazardous weather shelter instead of a warming shelter, just in the public's mind, too?
Yeah, that makes sense.
That might help clarify. And then in the exact opening protocol, I mean, I like the collaborative, you know, the consultation that's being described, but, you know, who has the authority to make the final call? Shouldn't we spell that out? And if there's maybe a disagreement on whether or not, you know, if it's conditions that are kind of on the cusp, so to speak,
sure.
Should we spell out who's got the final call? Is that, yeah.
Is that what you're speaking to?
I want to speak now to the criteria and establishing the criteria, whatever criteria. But I think that the first thing, I've had some conversations with other staff and so forth, I think the first issue is everybody's on the same page about the forecast, you know, and everybody can look at it and see what is there. My suggestion is we use the National Weather Service site out of Portland for Newport. I've had it set up here and brought it up. This is the current one that's there right now, and you can bookmark this page, and I want to point out a couple of things on this. First of all, if there's any kind of hazardous weather, let me start by saying that this site is updated four times a day, roughly at 3 a.m., 9 a.m., 3 p.m., and 9 p.m. So the information on this page is generally no older than about 6 hours. And if you look at the page, first of all, at the top, they're going to tell you if they think there's any hazardous weather conditions, and it just gives you a very brief statement. They've got a high wind warning in effect from the 13th, 2 p.m., until the 14th at 12 a.m. You don't care about the high surf advisory, but that is there. And they put that information there for you right away, so you can see if there's something going on. They'll give you the general kind of discussion of the so-called detailed forecast, and you can read this, but again, it doesn't necessarily provide you with a whole lot of information, but then you read that. What I really want to talk about is if you go down and click what's called forecast discussion, it's going to bring, okay. Yeah, I'm connected. I don't know why it went by. Okay. It's going to bring up this page. And first of all, it's going to tell you when they did this. This was done at 10 a.m. This morning. This page may be not on necessarily the same six-hour cycle, depending upon what they think. What's important about this page is that they will give you, first of all, a synopsis for the forecast area. But then, when you go down into the short term, basically what they tell you here is how confident they are in the forecast. They run a series of computer models, and you'll see the acronyms and so forth. And first, it maybe looks kind of like gibberish, but in fact, if you read this at 9 a.m., NOAA satellite imagery now showing two decent waves off the southwest of Oregon and so forth. And you can go down through here, and they'll tell you in some detail how they arrived at the forecast they are now putting out, and whether or not, for instance, the models are generally in agreement or if they're diverging, gives you some idea of how confident they are in the forecast that they're making, and they'll tell you a few other things.
Jim, could you help me focus this? Just so we don't get too far. So who would depend on this information? Jenny?
We'll talk about that in just a second.
Okay.
This is first of all, to put everybody on the same page about what we're expecting to happen for this particular event. There's a lot in it today because we do have this event we are having right now. They'll tell you things like the current high wind warnings remain in effect, gusts 70 to 80 miles per hour at the coastal headlands, but less from the away from the immediate coast, so forth. Talk about the county, and so forth. You need to read this really to get a good feel for why they're making the prediction that they're making.
So that page that said Portland, Oregon, is that the farthest the National Weather Service zooms in?
Actually,
no, they do.
You can go to the map and pick a specific spot.
Oh, okay.
You can literally go to the map and pick a specific spot. But I'm using Newport, and I think we use Newport for making our decision because the facility that we're going to be operating is in Newport, so I'm confining it right now to Newport. Again, you know, you go down and you read some of this. It's kind of the guy up in Portland is kind of like he's talking to you, you know. Now referred to as the Ides of October storm.
Oh my.
And he tells you that really what's happening here is we're getting stuff that's come across the Pacific from the typhoon Sanongyar or whatever it is, which is currently around 42 north, 175 east, which is Longmont, and so forth. And the remains of this typhoon is what's bringing us the weather that we're having now. And, you know, we should see a lot of rain today through Saturday, perhaps as much as 3 to 6 inches. Coastal mountains and generally 2 to 4 inches for the coast and Cascades should see 1 to 3 inches in the valleys. At this point, there appear to be enough breaks in between the systems to prevent river flooding, things like that. This short-term discussion here is important. And then, normally at the bottom, interestingly enough, they'll tell you which one of the forecasters actually wrote this. In this case, it's McCoy. I don't know any of these guys, but I know that they walked in the room, but I know their names from seeing it. So I'm going to suggest that, first of all, this is where we get the information to make the decision about whether or not we're going to operate the hazardous weather site. And it's on the internet, which means that all of the people that we're going to be talking about now that would be involved in this would have immediate access to it as a general rule. You know, you don't have to have special access into the county system, for instance, or something like that. You can look at it at home or wherever you happen to be 24 hours a day. Again, generally information on this site is no older than about 6 hours. And there may be updates as this one that we're just looking at right now. So this is, where I believe, where we start with the decision.
So I have a question now. What's the proper role of the Fair Board in this context?
Well, I think our issue is whether or not we're going to approve the protocols for doing this as opposed to doing any of the specific things. If you read, you know, on down, basically the way I see it happening is Tracy looks at this and says, okay, it looks like I have a potential issue here. Then there's a certain group of people that get notified to determine whether or not the facility is, in fact, available. Jack Whaley is on the list, for instance. If Jack happens to have the electrical panel tore apart in there for some reason, obviously the site's not usable. She needs to know that. So she checks. Okay, I think I got the conditions. She checks with a certain group of people. Todd, 4-H, is the site available to me? If the site is available and the decision is made, then to go ahead, then a second group of people get notified. Included in that group are people like Casey Miller at the board's office, so he can put out a press release. People like Jenny Damaris, who's the emergency services coordinator and would be the contact in law enforcement. If we're going to have the facility open or not open, the officers in the field, for instance, need to know whether or not it's open or not open, so they can either, if it is open, direct people there or even take people there, or, you know, have some other solution if something else is going on. So that second group then, there's a whole bunch of people who would get notified. One would be the chair of the Board of Commissioners, for instance. Facilities, you know, people who have some role to play in whether or not the site can, in fact, be used this evening if the decision is made. That's a brief overview of how I see the protocol for determining, first of all, whether or not, we'll call it the hazardous weather, facility is going to be operating or not operating, and then who gets notified. Again, the first group is the site available group, if you will, and then the second group is going to be open or it's not going to be open. Law enforcement, the Board of Commissioners, you know, other people we need to know. And that is a brief overview of what we have discussed and basically what is on this sheet. It's got the policies and procedures.
So with the recommendation regarding the naming, hazardous, how would this read?
Policy and procedure for hazardous weather shelter and Lincoln County Commons Main Hall.
Okay. Now, I think we use hazardous weather as opposed to warming shelter, as Bill explained, because it gives the public a much better descriptor, I believe, of
what we're trying to do here. Also, this talks about cold, windy conditions and so forth. It isn't necessarily a cold weather issue that may cause the site to be open. It may not be a warming issue. If we actually get winds in the community of 80 miles an hour, for instance, that probably is going to be a justification for opening the site and getting people off the street. At 80 miles an hour, things are moving fast enough that if you get hit with a flying object or something, you can literally get killed. So we may want to have the site available for something like that. I mean, I've sat out here and watched the wind literally blow down the signals at the intersection. If we get that kind of condition,
I think we're all in agreement.
We're going to get them off the street.
So does it change the name of this? We are going to say hazard, right?
I would like prefer, as Bill has suggested, to call it the hazardous.
Hazardous weather shelter.
Hazardous weather shelter.
Is consensus enough on this, Wayne, or should we vote? We don't have to vote.
I think you need to vote. I think there's maybe some other people that want to talk about it, number one. And number two, I got a couple questions.
Okay.
In terms of,
I suggest that we don't necessarily need to vote on
just
that.
Just on the name. But
at some point, we're going to need to go and
so who's the official author of this?
I believe Amy basically put this together based on discussions that I had with her and some other folks.
And is this NOAA will be, is that in agreement with your presentation?
National Weather Service is part of NOAA.
Yeah, okay.
And this is the site that is really being referred to here.
Okay. And if something is hazardous, would it raise to the level of superseding anything that's been scheduled?
No.
At the current time, the answer is no.
No, okay. All right. That's all. I just wanted to know what level of emergency would invoke this.
Now there's some wrinkles to this. Todd, for instance, may have a 4-H event scheduled in there this evening. But he looks at this and says, I'm not having the kids come out when the wind's blowing 80 miles an hour. Mm-hmm. So now he tells Tracy, for instance, I am scheduled to use it, but I'm going to call all my people and cancel so it will be available to you. That's part of the reason for having these notifications, these groups, as I've described earlier, so that there's some coordination of effort here. Everybody's on the same page, knows what's going on, and everybody's referring to the same information.
So what one person or what one group makes the final determination?
I've got a suggestion on that. I want to see if everybody would be okay with it for consultation, whether you think this would be workable or if it's too much bureaucracy. But let me just put this out there. How about EWC manager?
HWS.
Oh, HWS, yeah. I even wrote that there. HWS manager will bring a request to open shelter to county property management. If county property management verifies the facility is available, county emergency manager will be consulted. That the preference would be for a consensus decision on whether conditions warrant an opening, but if there is not a consensus, the majority may make the decision. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
Amy, what do you think? Okay. And we're committing. John? Okay.
Yeah. John will probably say
the chair members of the board. Uh-huh. I'm John Waffenschmidt. I'm the county surveyor and also in charge of property management. Uh-huh. The way we view this working is more that the decision as to whether or not the emergency weather shelter is needed is based upon Tracy's decision. And then what we see more is that she sends out an email blast or text or phone call, however the people want to be contacted, and any one of those people can object to the opening of the shelter at that point.
Right.
Going back to Jim's comment on Jack may have electrical work going on or plumbing work or
4-H may be using the facility or be unable to accommodate the emergency shelter, then any one of those people can chime in and say, it doesn't work for us at this time. Right. County property management isn't available on a 24/7 right. basis to really right. make the call one okay. way or the other, but okay. all of the affected people essentially could have, it, not, if you will, veto power, but be able to express their concern or why the shelter may not be able yeah. to be open okay. that particular
right.
day.
Okay.
Other than that, we've already basically talked to Tracy about the availability of the facility other than for Friday nights, because Friday night need to be available in preparation for the farmer's market okay. during the months that the farmer's market is open. But the other 6 days a week, it would really be more if the email blast had anyone objecting to it.
Right, and John and I are on the okay. same page about this. Tracy will look at this site and yep. say, okay, okay, you need to do something. Okay. She sends an email blast yep. to the first group, yep. which again is Jack, property management, whatever it is.
4-H.
4-H is a site available. If everybody comes back with an okay. then she sends a second email blast.
And
that goes to
the
people
opening.
Like Jenny Ramirez, segment. Casey, the chair of the board, yep. Yep. and so forth, that says, we're going to open.
I'm good with that.
Or we're going to close, or we're not going to open. I mean, yeah. she may look at it and say, no, criteria is not adequate. She may just send a blast directly to the second group mm-hmm. that says, okay. looked at the criteria, not met, not going to open it tonight, FYI. Mm-hmm. John?
It fits good with Tracy. That outlines the process that we had agreed upon.
Yeah.
Okay. So, do we have to make anything formal from that discussion?
Yeah, I have other questions. Yeah, I got okay. a couple of questions, and maybe that'll anticipate some.
All right, let's start with Jack.
Jack Whaley, Facilities. I've got a suggestion for the future. We have the possibility, of course, of Focus exiting the property. Mm-hmm. The floral building is, one, a smaller structure.
Less expensive to heat.
Less expensive to heat. It's insulated. It already has the electrical upgrades. Yeah. It can be segregated easily yeah. for families and
yeah, not an alternative for this winter, but possibly
right,
for
exactly.
Next winter,
not this year, but next. I would like the board to consider that yep. when for the future.
Yeah.
That would solve a lot of our problems in this area.
Yep. Could be open Fridays.
Right. And I agree with Jack, but I don't think we need to.
No.
I think he's.
That doesn't high. Come into this year's decision, but it's
I
a
think
good
that,
thing.
You know, mm-hmm. the details of exactly how the site will be run are mm-hmm. something that will need to be addressed. But
certainly.
Okay.
Do you have any problem with being on the email blast?
Not at all.
So you know.
No.
Because again, if you've got something torn apart in there or something, or maybe the main exhibit hall isn't available because you've got something torn apart, maybe one of the
right.
smaller buildings, she might be able to use one of those. Or
absolutely, and of course the exhibit hall is always on sketchy grounds as far as during the storms too, because it suffers just as much damage during these heavy winds as any other building.
Yeah.
So it'd be good to be on that list in case something. I know of some issue
right.
that possibly someone else doesn't know.
Well, and that's the whole point of this, is that people who actually know these pieces of information, like yourself, can reply mm-hmm. to Tracy and say, gee, can't do it. I mean, I just lost the half of the roof or whatever
exactly.
it is.
Okay, so in terms of, we know that pick of the litter will be gone by a certain time. And then after they're gone, will that space be reservable?
Well, yeah, I think
we've got to discuss that.
It may be we end up entering into a long-term lease again for that. There's, I think, a lot of options and ideas around use of that space, but it could be used for exactly what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That's an option.
Okay, and you had some other thoughts?
Yes, just several things. Number one is, can I, and Tanya will show you that option this meeting, but I'd like to add Tanya to the email list, mm-hmm. because in case something comes up, it seems invariably somebody tries to get a hold of me. Don't put me in the email loop. I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
Tanya can find me. So I would like to just add her to the email list that you blast in there, and she can give you the email.
I understand Wayne never reads his email.
I don't.
Let's keep him in the loop. Let's keep him in the loop anyway.
You can do that best by having Tanya.
Okay.
So and then that'll work that way. The second thing is that just a couple of questions around the farmer's market this year. And help me if I'm
remembering right, but is the market going to keep some stuff in the winter market inside the exhibition hall all the time?
Yes,
certain things
in the back room.
So how are, and is that in a place that's segregated then? Are we feeling comfortable that that's going to be segregated adequately?
Yes, it's not that much. A few carts and a few and a dolly and maybe a box.
All right, so you're fine with that.
And I lock it up.
Okay. You can actually lock them. Second thing is that your times are going to be a little different from winter's market, if I understand right.
9 to 1. 9 to 1.
So what's I don't see in here is if you're going to open it up, the opening time is if on Saturday night you want to do one, the fair board's saying you can have it on Saturday night.
Could you tell us your name for the minutes?
I'm Kelly Greer.
Kelly Greer, okay.
Newport Farmers Market.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Manager, right, okay.
So I think you should put a time in here and consistent with when that they can get in there.
After three.
It says 6 o'clock in here.
We open the shelter for guests.
Oh, that's okay. Right, yeah. That's going to be okay with you then. That's fine. Yes. You're out of there by that time on Saturday.
Yes.
Okay. Third thing is, just to make it clear, you guys don't have a 501c3 right now, right?
No, we do not.
So this means that you, the county, and the fair board are sponsoring this, which mm-hmm. means we do need to formally adopt this, because it'll be anything that goes on with this will be our liability. Our insurance will have to cover this.
Can I address that?
Unless you got something else.
I do have something that I'm working on at the moment. The insurance agent is trying to figure it out for me right now. Gracewinds Haven is a entity in Oregon. So we are a business in the state of Oregon. We're just not a 501c3 yet. So I have asked our insurance agent to do insurance for Gracewinds Haven as a shelter. So I'm just waiting for that piece to be finished as we speak.
I think we just need to know that that's a little bit different, you know, kind of an issue here.
Yeah.
That ultimately, and of course, ultimately, we always have responsibility and liability for anything that occurs on the grounds. We try and cover some of that way. But that's why I want some kind of formal adoption here, so that we can then authorize our insurance to cover.
But that's
to the extent it's not covered by other insurance.
Yes, that's good, because depending on how long this takes, there may be a possibility they propose opening up before the insurance is in place. So if it's...
Well, Wayne, why don't you just suggest some wording for that motion?
Okay. We'll think about this for a minute. Is there any other issues that you've got, or any of the staff? I know everybody's back there in terms of the logistics here.
Anybody else got any other issues or questions?
Kelly, yes.
I'm Kelly Greer. I'm the Newport Farmers Market Manager. I'm glad that you are not having it on Friday night, because that was my main concern.
Right.
My other concern is the sanitary, because we do serve food, and we have 40 vendors or so that come in there, and I would just like to know, what do they do for cleaning up after they use it?
Sure, so I have an entire tote of just stuff that we use to clean the facility after we're done. Everything from Clorox bleach to Pine Sol to you name it. I mean, it's got all kinds of cleaning supplies in it, and I have a crew that comes in the morning just to clean the facility when we're leaving.
And are animals allowed?
Animals are allowed, but not in the kitchen area, and they have to be either leashed or kenneled.
We don't allow animals. We try not to allow any animals, service animals. And then, you know, my cats have fleas right now. What happens if you get a flea epidemic in there? Because I know they keep their bedding and other stuff in there. And so I just have, you know, sanitary concerns.
I can say that the requirements here are that, now we're calling HWS, we'll have to do the cleaning, satisfactory cleaning. And that's something we'll have to monitor. We'll have to make sure. And any feedback you can provide would be helpful.
Yeah, positive or negative, if you let property management know it looks great, or if you have concerns, please voice those.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. John comes in there. He helps out on Saturdays.
What is HWS?
Hazardous Weather
Shelter. Instead of the EWC, that's the
I thought. But that's not Jenny Damaris's apartment. Okay.
No.
Got confused.
So my other thing is, I lived in Central Oregon for 30 years. 32 degrees is not really that cold. I mean, I'm not sleeping outside, but I'm just
saying that if no other reasons, I can understand if it's pouring down rain and it's windy.
Yeah.
But 32 degrees is I think, a pretty high bar.
That we rarely, of course, in the winter here, I think, see 32 without rain and wind as well.
Yeah. But I think that's a standard in lots of shelters.
Yeah, probably. It's a nice round number because it's freezing.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, could I ask a question, maybe make a suggestion, since we've had a lot of discussion about modifying this draft protocol? Could we maybe make a motion to approve it with discussed changes and authorizing Mr. Belmont to, I guess, put this document in final form for signature?
Yes.
So
that's a perfect motion.
Is there a second?
I'll second, but I would like to make the comment that I'd like to see the two contact routes
spelled out in the protocol.
And under contacts, I mean, the first sentence, Teresa Glowers will have the key, but then following that, there's just an overall group to be notified. That needs, in my view, to be broken into two separate groups. The first group that I indicated, like Jack and Todd and so forth, is the facility actually available group? And then, assuming that Tracy's, well, actually, whether you make the decision to open or not open, then the third group, which would be like Jenny Damaris, the chair of the board, and so forth, that group gets an email blast and says either we will be open or we will not be open, or whatever the case may be. If you decide you're not going to open it, you'll bypass the second group and go straight to the third group. But we need two different groups there.
So let me just tell you what I just tried to identify based on the list. And then I'm adding Tanya in here too. So group one would be Amy Howard, Jack Whaley, Todd Williver, Michelle, Tanya, and then I have Bill actually in group one, just to have him in there. Mm-hmm. And group two would then be all those people plus Lola Jones, Salvation Army, Jonas Whale, Newport TV, and the County Sheriff's Office.
I like that.
So I'm using your list that's there.
All right. Would not Jenny Damaris be the SO contact?
She's on there, but that's only after decisions made to open.
Correct.
Yeah.
You just said SO. I mean, what do you mean by that?
Is Jenny not on this list? I'm sorry.
She is.
Well, I'm thinking for patrol.
She's on this list, but I mean, who's...
What I'm going to do is I'll probably send this out. When I say that the Kent Sheriff's Office, and we'll get some email addresses attached to each of these. The Sheriff's Office and the PD will be what gets out to the patrol people.
Yeah.
So Jenny's not
probably
going to do that. That's going to go to Miranda or Jason Malloy and Brian Cameron for us.
Yeah.
So it'll go to our folks there.
Yeah.
But
we'll get your email address.
Get the intent.
Okay, is there any further discussion on that motion? Okay, so just to be clear, the motion again is, Bill?
Is to authorize staff to refine and complete the proposed policy and procedure for the hazardous weather shelter to operate at the Lincoln County Commons. And authorize staff to execute the finished agreement.
That's great.
All right, it's been moved and seconded and discussed. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye, it's unanimous. Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Now, do we have another motion?
Maybe some clarification. So,
got
an event coming up right now. When does this start?
Yeah. Are you contemplating trying to open this weekend?
Well, I would love to, but I know you guys have the boosters auction there, so yeah, that's probably not an option for you guys. Right. So I'm going to actually, for this weekend, ask our church as soon as we leave here if we can open for the weekend.
Okay.
So we'll try and pull this together then by whatever next week.
And I should also let you guys know that I do have a conversation coming up with the city of Newport, and they may be willing to take this whole problem off of your guys' hands in the first place. So that'll be on the 20th. So once I've heard those, I will let you guys know as well.
Once this is put together, will you email us?
Absolutely.
So, Mr. Drummond, I mean, do you want the motion explicitly that county is the sponsor of this event and will assume
liability until such time?
No, because that's implicit in the fact that you're authorized to enter into this.
Then what additionally do we need?
That's it. Okay, the understanding, make sure it's a consensus understanding that if it starts, it won't start this week, it will start sometime.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We already know we can't do it.
Okay.
And the minutes will reflect that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay, thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And then let's go on to the OSU Extension 4-H update.
For those who don't know, Todd's off in New Orleans right now at the National 4-H Conference, so I'm speaking on his behalf as well. Not a whole lot to report, as you kind of already alluded to. He's part of those discussions with Tracy and Amy and so forth, and we're very happy to be part of that process and help out in any way we can. So he's pretty confident we can find ways to store things and stuff that will work well for everybody. So regarding OSU and the fair, and I'm sure Wayne's a little bit up on this, we are still in a little bit of limbo. No final decision yet, although in lacking that decision, we just proceed as if. We continue to do the work for the fair. I know Wayne is working on the MOU with OSU at this time. We're still hoping to have a final answer. What we're hoping is the enthusiastic yes, or, you know, we'd like to find a different solution, one of those two, before OFA next week. And if we don't have it by then, you know, we're working towards that as quickly as
we
can.
And I'll give you this quick update. It ends up that I'm supposed to be doing all this with Eric Donner, and we can't meet until after the OFA.
Yes.
So unfortunately, that got
well. We are just kind of, so you know, we. Todd and I's position is that the answer, yes or no, does not hinge on that MOU.
I agree.
So that MOU is actually for last year's fair at this point to be finalized, and so we're asking for them to still answer regardless of any other factors, because it's really a question of...
And I think what I can say to this point is they're going to say yes for another year.
Yeah.
That's not going to be an issue. I'm looking at a longer-term solution.
Right, and of course that's
a long-term solution. So that's... And that they're not ready to say yes.
Right, so...
OSU extension. And this is the upcoming. I mean, we know where Michelle and Todd come from.
Yeah, yeah.
It's up the ladder.
We'll keep you apprised of any progress there. So the Oregon Fairs Association convention is next week. Todd and I are going, as well as our superintendent for Open Class. She lives in that area and will be joining us. Thank you for the basket. You may or may not have known got made for us for the auction, so we appreciate that. It always draws a good deal of money. It's a seafood and wine festival basket, so they always love that. So Todd also wanted to say thank you. We issued a payment to the posse, and they were very appreciative. It's the first time that's been done in many, many years, kind of honoring what it used to be with their arrangement of providing security at the fair. And he attended their meeting, and he said they were very appreciative. And so we hope to continue that relationship, and we were glad to be able to do that as well. So regarding the fairgrounds in general, the new locking mechanism seems to be working well for the horse riding and so forth. So at this point, I think that's just proceeding ahead as is. And as I said, he was part of those discussions with Amy on the warming center. So nothing much to report different there. We do have a new after-school program that's going to be starting soon in the Harney Building at the fairgrounds. We're excited about that and the possibilities that will bring. It's nice because it's kind of between the schools, and hopefully we'll be able to draw kids from a couple different areas there. We started the new 4-H year on October 1st, and that kicked off well. We had an open house at the OSU Extension office that was very successful, which is exciting, hoping to continue to grow the program throughout the county. And then Trick or Treat Street, and I don't even know if we've kind of updated Amy on this or not, but which had been in the fairgrounds last year. We have actually partnered with Oregon Coast Aquarium this year. They've been wanting to kind of increase their Halloween party, if you will, and so our Trick or Treat Street is going to move to the aquarium and be held there. It's straight up a community service event where kids can trick or treat safe and free in the aquarium. It'll be from 5 to 7 Saturday, October 29th. Bring a can of food and get in free to the aquarium, plus get to trick or treat with kids in costume and so forth. So we will not be using the fairgrounds for that this year. So, and that is the quick down and dirty on where we're at.
Okay, while you're there, our next item is the official representative to OFA, which will be Todd.
Yes.
And are you aware of any items on the agenda that we
I'm
should
not.
Be?
I'm not aware of what the agenda is. There is one. There is a meeting with voting delegates to attend, but I'm not aware of if they're voting on anything in particular.
I believe we need a motion to
Yes.
Nate Todd is our official representative for this.
And that is a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. So I can't imagine there ain't going to be any earth-shattering decisions. So I don't know that we have a lot to discuss. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So it's unanimous.
Perfect.
Todd
yes.
will be our representative.
Great.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah. Are you planning on joining the show?
I am, yeah.
I'm going to make a motion that if some unforeseen circumstance happens and Todd is unable, that I'll move that Michelle be designated as our alternate.
I'll second the motion.
All right.
Good idea. Thank you. We appreciate that.
All right, good. Moved and seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay, unanimous. Michelle?
So you're the alternate of talking
about that. You know
good
how life happens.
Gets okay. hit by a comment. Yeah. Who knows? Oh, okay.
Okay, yeah. Let's go on to the RFP master plan update.
The RFP is out. We're getting inquiries right now. And what we need to do today, though, is we need to designate our committee to review the RFP.
Okay.
And so I'd like to discuss that a little bit. I think that that really is much more of a technical committee,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see how they respond. And we've got to think, we've talked about a robust, very robust public process to do this. And I think it would be maybe good to have one representative from general public out here. But I'd like to recommend that the committee consists of one Fair Board member, myself, the Public Works Director, and Jack Whaley, because we need to have, he's going to be dealing with the technical aspects of building out anything, that at least that be the group of one public member that makes the selection recommendation to the Fair Board and then to the Board of Commissioners.
Are they both willing?
Five.
Are they both willing to serve in that capacity?
Well, of course.
Have you been drafted? Okay. Well, okay.
Roy's back there going, the train's left the station, Roy.
Yes. So with regard to anything that will take place after,
yes,
is there any decision-making that will come of the recommendations of these five?
The board will actually hire a consultant. But what we'll really need to do, and I think you need to start this process of thinking, is remember that the input you're going to seek in the public process is a much broader thing.
Yeah.
And that's we've selected the consultant, they're on board, they're conducting this public process, and you talked about a stakeholder committee, you know, that we, so we really need to be thinking, and I think probably in our November meeting, make some recommendations as to who's going to be on that stakeholder committee.
So, Mr. Belknap, what kind of time frame are we looking at? What's the deadline for submissions, and when might this
It's November 16th, and then we're going to make a decision by December 2nd. So we're really going to, I think, gear up for the public process after the first of the year. That's what it's going to be. We're also going to schedule our tour sometime in that, you know, frame out there beyond that. But one of the very first things we'll do, and we wrote the RFP in this way, is sit down with a selected consultant and say, what's a realistic time frame to do these things, and adjust anything kind of up front to do that.
I'm afraid maybe in this kind of discussion there's a little bit of confusion. The purpose of these five people is going to be to score the proposals against mm-hmm. the criteria, meet and based upon their individual scoring, make a recommendation as to the consultant to be hired. There won't be any public process or anything
not
like that.
The
results will be received. They will be reviewed and scored by the five individuals. They will make a recommendation on the hiring of the consultant.
Which will be done by the Board of Commissioners.
Which will then be done by the Board of Commissioners, assuming they concur in the recommendation, or they may not. And then we start the process where you have the public input and so forth, mm-hmm. meeting with the consultant and so forth. So that's really the kind of the schedule of events.
So who do you imagine those five people are then? It'd be Jim?
Jim,
Jack,
myself.
Wayne.
Roy.
Roy.
They're a public member. And if you want to suggest somebody, then we can get Ben Nagebauer, we can get somebody that's been, you know, sort of involved in the events, it's not necessarily, unless you got somebody else in mind.
No, I can't do it.
Good friend, can you do it?
Why can't you do it?
Because I'm expecting a grandson November 3rd.
Oh.
We won't even get the, we won't even receive the thing until November 16th.
I don't know that Alexander is reading the calendar.
Okay.
Yeah, just because.
So if Jim can, if not Frank, then the public person, I would prefer someone with some technical knowledge.
That's fine.
Not just someone off the street.
Right.
You know, and I mean, not quite up to the Tim Gross level, but maybe an architect, maybe a designer.
Well, it wouldn't hurt to have somebody, maybe the city manager. I could probably convince him to do it, because the city will be involved in the process.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about funding for that.
That would be
how about good the city manager or his designee?
I like that. That would be
a great choice for a public.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, do we have to make a motion?
I think there's a consensus on that. That's the committee, and we'll go from there.
All right.
Got it.
Yeah. All right, very good. County staff update. Who's starting?
I just keep lying.
I really don't have anything to update other than
maybe a quick little discussion, and now we've got Wolf Roy back here, too. Because Frank and I were talking a little bit about this. I think we need to get back to having a discussion about the signage.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up, too.
And it's good time to do this right now.
One thing we talked about, a lot got done before this year's event, but that was one thing that didn't. So.
And let me talk about it two different ways. One is I'm still working on doing the Highway 20 sign, which will be the big sign. And, in fact, I've been discussing in a different hat I wear. And, Frank, I know you've been looking at these things about getting that electronic sign and doing some changes in city code to actually make it more usable and workable. And I'm making a little bit of progress in that area. No decisions obviously have been made, and it's got to go through a pretty public process at the city. But so that's coinciding with that. We're really talking about the signage at the site now. The one that says Lincoln County Commons, home of the Lincoln County Fair, and pulling that together. And I think part of the discussion was, is that a standard sign that we do? We know that you can make, what I'll call a road-type sign or an informational sign. Roy, you've got the capability of doing that.
What do you call a standard sign?
Well, standard sign, I'm saying, is that you.
Well, what's there now?
Standard design.
Yeah.
What's
there now? It's white letters on a brown background.
Right. That's, to me, you know, that size doesn't really matter. You can probably make a 3-foot by 4-foot sign.
Wait a minute. Where are you going to place the sign? What are you going to use it for?
That's
just to replace the existing ones with something similar, only with the new name, or something more?
Is this intended to be directional to the site?
No. On-site. You know the signs that we did a couple of years ago that just say Lincoln County Fairgrounds?
So we're talking about 3rd and Harney.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is that the only one we've got, or is there another one? I thought there were...
There's one on 3rd, one on 3rd and Harney, and one on 7th and Harney.
Yeah.
Okay.
He made those. He can.
Uh-huh.
Other than just a printed sign, are we going to explore sponsorships or anything to try to offset some of the other costs of the fairgrounds? I mean, most fairgrounds depend heavily on advertisement.
Mm-hmm.
This is an opportunity maybe to.
And I think that's going to be explored as part of the redevelopment and refinement of the master plan ultimately. I think the question was, what do we do in the interim? Do we put up something that says Lincoln County Commons, home of the county fair?
And I would like to suggest that we not go to the style that's being used now, that we take our lead from the tent. So whatever font we used on the tent and the county logo, somehow get someone to give us a proposal, like Newport Signs or something like that.
See, maybe beyond what you could do, Roy.
Order up 3 signs and just mount them.
The road department sign, have you seen that one I put in up on Public Works?
Yes.
On 7th Street?
Yeah.
That's made out of a styrene product, basically. Created in a PDF format, and it can be CNC'd out of a sheet of styrene, and it lasts forever, and they're not overly expensive. I think that sign, which is 5x4, 6x4, was $2,400.
The one that says Lincoln County Public Works and Surveyor and so forth.
Yeah, it looks like a woodcut sign, but in fact, it's just styrene.
How much was that sign?
$2,400 or $2,800.
Frank has something a little different in mind.
Well,
that's the question.
Yeah, I didn't imagine them being that expensive. To be
honest,
where was that produced?
Newport Science here in town.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, then it's the same
idea.
Mm-hmm. Same idea. Yeah, let's just come up with something that we can look at next month.
But you're talking about three signs.
Yeah.
To replace the three that are there now.
But I don't know that we need to have one 4x5 feet. You know,
on every one.
The existing one.
I'd like to add two that just simply say Lincoln County College.
Well, now that we've cemented the logo, we've cemented the style, I mean, these can be moved no matter what the overall plan is.
Yeah.
It won't be thrown away money.
Can I suggest that it ultimately, as you redevelop find the master plan redeveloped, the grounds in there, the signage will be part of the issue.
Yes, it will.
Sure. Bigger issue. What you're talking about is hand truck, because we'll probably need something for the next 2 or 3 years.
We'll come back with a proposed sign and have some prices next month.
Yeah. I think that's the way to think of it. Interim signage
do that?
For 2 to 3 year period. Right.
Perfect.
Let's let Jack do that.
Roy's got something.
All right.
Mr. Chair.
Do you want the alternative, the cheap Kmart alternative?
How much would that be?
Well, I don't know. We're probably looking at, for the three signs, similar size, something less than $1,000.
Yeah.
For all three signs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it depends on what you want.
You know, so if you can
Jack's
bring us...
got one style. I'm basically looking at a repeat of what was there with different color backing and some different font. But plain Jane, whatever.
We can go his route. We can go that route, and then once we have the contract signed and we have a style for the building and everything, then we can explore a more permanent fix.
Right, but I think at a minimum, what Wayne mentioned earlier, Lincoln County Commons, home of the Lincoln County Fair.
See, that's something that he can do cheap and easy.
Because that'll, you know, interim for us is probably going to be 3 or 4 years.
Interim is long.
So it's got to be, have some substance, you know, to last through.
Yeah, then we don't. Then you probably don't want us to make quotes and start creating style.
No,
let's not go there. We'll cancel that. For this.
Let's go back to Keith and have Keith do it. And he's making it as
like
side material, so it's going to last forever.
Yeah.
3M product.
What I'll do is... I'll come up with something for Keith to plagiarize as far as
design.
I can send that to you. We actually designed this stuff for the students.
Perfect.
Send it, if you've got it in an image file, Keith can work with that.
Send it to me. I'll have Keith work up something that he can then, or I can send to y'all so you can look at it.
Perfect.
And give a nod one way or the other.
Sounds good.
And he should be able to, are we looking at something similar to the current size, something a little bigger?
Bigger.
I'd say bigger.
Probably a little bigger.
You got more words, you're probably going to have to get a little bigger.
Yeah. So we're looking at like 4x6, 3x5-ish.
Well, what is it now?
Right now it's like 1x3 or 4x4.
It's pretty small. Yeah, pretty small sign right now.
Right? What did you say, Jack? 1x4-ish?
Yeah,
yeah, they
it's
are pretty small.
It's your standard, the one that they put like on an overhanging light.
Roy, you guys use your own judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
Also, I'll get Gossip of Blank and what, you know, we'll get you designed and have Keith estimate his time and get you a quote.
Yeah. Okay, perfect.
All right, very good. Anything else on county staff update?
I have a quick random note that might be fun for y'all. If you go to Google Maps and zoom in on the fairgrounds at the deepest level on the satellite image, it's during the fair.
Cool.
You'll see your tents, and you'll see it's actually pretty fun, yeah.
So they updated it during the fair.
You have to zoom all the way in on satellite. So when you're zoomed out at all on satellite, it's still just the terrain.
Uh-huh.
But when you're in the last zoom level of satellite, you actually see the tents and the trucks. And,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So
good.
It might be fun for you.
One more note.
Yes.
And I'd like to thank Tanya and Jan Riesbeck, our finance director, Amy, Michelle, everybody's been helping us. I feel more confident in numbers than I have in a little while in terms of where we're pulling things together and the reports we're going to do. But we're also putting out the annual report, Philip. It actually changed the date on us. And we didn't know that, so we've got an extension to do the report. So we're pulling those numbers together. I need to talk to Amy a little bit, get some last name numbers. That report's going to be going out to OFA before the meeting.
Okay. All right, till November 10th.